Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live worship experience. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gifts will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
And be as you give your people clear sight and vision. We ask, O God, for divine strategies. We ask, O God, clear understanding. Let the seven eyes of your spirit rest upon your people who seek after you from a pure place. Hallelujah. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus, we give your name all glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome, family. Welcome this morning. I am Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries. On this morning, we welcome you, amen, to our celebration. We are glad that you have joined us on this morning. We are looking forward to the word of the Lord on today, for this is the day that our Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. There's nobody greater than our God. And I am excited right now to be not only before him, but before you all as well. We are looking forward to the word of the Lord. I do want to come before you just while I'm here, excuse me, I just want to give you our announcements, our upcoming events, as well as our regular service times. If you are in the Brevard County area, family, please join us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for our Bible study night known as Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. That's 7 p.m. every Tuesday night. On Thursday night for 1 hour, 7 to 8, we are here for prayer, amen, intercessory prayer. On Friday night, also at 7 p.m., we are also here for our Friday night service known as Jam, Jesus and Me Ministry. Sunday morning, we come back here live for our Sunday worship service, amen. All roads lead to Christ the King. Redemptive Ministries, address is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. We look forward to you joining us at any one of those times. Our doors are always open and our hearts are open as well to receive you and welcome you and your family here with us at any one of those times. Amen. We also, family, would like for you to connect with us. Go to our website, if you would, www.ctkrm.org. Once again, that's www.ctkrm.org. When you go there, you can also learn about who Christ the King Redemptive Ministry is, our organization, also known as Kingdom Convergence, amen, or any other services and workshops and different things that we have, Women of Prophetic Destiny, all of those different things that are a part of our ministry. But we also want you to, as you're connecting and checking us out, please be a blessing, amen. If the word of the Lord has blessed you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, we want you to give. While you're on our website, that's the way to do it, www.ctkrm.org. www.thewordchanges.org. And as you give, amen, the word changes your life. As you receive it, sow into the word of God, amen. You can't go wrong with that, amen? Amen. So with all that being said, we are looking forward to the word of God, amen, which will be coming forward by our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, who is the prelate of Kingdom Convergence, as well as Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Oh, before I forget, family, keep us in your prayers as we head over to Liberia, Africa, African Women for Jesus 2020. Amen. I have been invited to be one of the keynote speakers. My husband has also been invited as well to do the Christian leadership that is over there. So we ask that you would lift us up and ask the Lord to cover us, amen, as we fly up in the air, and that the assignment that God has placed in our hearts and on everyone's minds and hearts will be completed and done to his glory, amen. Glory to God. So we look forward to that. So keep us in prayer for that. That is going to be the weekend of January 27th through the 31st, amen. Amen. So we thank God for all of that. Hallelujah. So we just want to give all the praise and glory unto God, family. It is time for the word of the Lord. As I was saying, if we could all just begin to stand and rest on our feet, Christ the King, amen, family, as well. For those of you who are watching us, we just ask that you would get your Bibles, amen, your iPads, your pens, whatever it is you need to take notes with, amen. And we ask that you would begin to bring yourself into a focus, amen, because God is here to get all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. He's here to get all the glory and the praise. We want you to lift up, keep our senior leader, Chief Apostle McQueen, in prayer as he comes forward, as he is preparing himself to minister the word of God. Amen. So, family, without any further ado, please let us receive none other than our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Can we thank God for his life? Amen.
Come on, let's give God a praise, give him some glory and some honor, because the Lord is worthy. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. We are excited about what God is doing and what God is doing in this season. And let's go ahead and just go into prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for every door that you've opened. Lord, for every way that you have made access into different dimensions and places. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that. But, Lord, I also thank you for every no. There are some things that you have blocked. You knew it was going to not. You knew it was not for our benefit. It was not for our good. You knew the enemy had set up to use and to abuse. So you blocked it, and we just want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for every door that you shut. Thank you for everything that you said no to, that we didn't know to deny ourselves. Now, Lord, even as we go forward, we ask, Lord, right now that you will open up our eyes that we can see the revelation of the word that you have given to us, our ears that we can attune to your voice and hear your instructions and your directions for us. Oh, God, I pray right now that you will simply touch our minds. Sometimes the revelation is so vast that we have hard time wrapping our heads around it. But, Lord, we know that you spoke it, and we say yes to it. So we ask right now that you will simply touch our minds that we can comprehend what you're doing. And then our hearts, Lord, that we don't get so emotionally connected to our situation and circumstance that we forget that you are in charge of it all. Oh, God, you are in control. So do what you do. And in advance, we give you praise and glory and honor for every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every healing, every deliverance, every soul saved. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. We are so grateful this morning. it seemed like every computer went into its own update. And it wasn't the quick one. These were the ones that took all day. Amen. So if we don't have certain things that you're used to hearing, music in the background and the like, don't worry about it. God knows exactly what he's doing. Amen? Amen. We are preparing to go to Liberia. We leave on Wednesday. So we are praying and asking for you to be with us. We are preparing to go to Liberia, as I was saying, and I know that it is African Women for Jesus. Now, don't let the African Women for Jesus, the women part, fool you. This is not a woman's initiative devoid of any males. This is focused on that aspect of knowing that God has called us in this time and in this season to talk about certain things that affect women, amen, male, female, young and old. We need to have these conversations. We need to deal with these things because we all have daughters and mothers and sisters and aunts and cousins, amen, who are affected by them, human trafficking, the fact that there's economic barriers to because of gender. Amen. So we want to take time and really deal with some of those things. And that is what this is. But Prophetess Dr. Crystal did not tell you, excuse me, or did not make a word to you. It's the fact that she is a board member of African Women for Jesus. Amen. And as a board member, the organization represents 15 nations. And she is one of those that sits on the board for that. And because of that, there comes responsibility to see to those women in those nations. So we're praying for you, Prophetess Dr. Crystal, amen. And we're also praying for those who want to be a part of this initiative and this work, that God will touch your heart and that you will avail yourself to be a part of this so that God can get the full glory out of our work, amen. No one wants to do all of this, amen, and then come back in, you know. Y'all ain't did nothing. Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Where were you when we were over there? Amen. Our hands to the plow and doing the work that needed to be done. There's something else that the Lord has been talking to me about, and he has been graciously letting me know. And that is that there are certain things that God has been doing in this time and season that will not make sense to certain individuals. What do you mean by that, Apostle? What are you saying there, Chief? What I'm saying is God is doing some things that will not make sense to certain people because you are not ready, amen, for the revelation. You're not ready for the elevation. And what you've been talking to people about is how you see yourself in a matter. And God has not given you release because you have not developed and matured. And you have fought it when God has come to talk to you about growing in him. You've talked to everybody else and told everybody else that they're just hating on you and they're holding you back. And God said, tell my people that I have not held them back, but I have preserved them, because he wants you to understand that if he had left you to yourself, somebody Somebody going to hear what I'm saying right now. If he had allowed you to be successful in your personal motivations and endeavors and trying to matriculate, if you will, or to aggrandize yourself, then you would stand there and say, I did it, and I got to this place, and I fought, and this is my legacy, and this is about how the world will see me, and you know, all that you just said will be true. The sad part about it is that none of that is your assignment. We're not supposed to worry about your legacy. We're supposed to worry about how we show forth the power of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be here for the Lord's glory. Amen. We're here for the Father so that he can get pleasure out of his children. That would be you and I. Everything that he does is not for you to walk around and show people how good and great and wonderful you are. No, everything that we do is so that we can demonstrate the power of God's kingdom in the earth. People are tired of seeing you. They're looking to see him. And while you try to build yourself up and take everybody's course and get certified with everything, and I don't hate on those that have gone off to better themselves and to hone their gifts. I do not do that. What I do say, though, is that there are times when you have tried to hone your gift in areas that God has not called you to. That means that while you are sitting back trying to hone your gift so that people can see you, God said, I was never trying to show you. My blood was covering you. My grace, my mercy was covering you. And while you were trying to step out so people can see more of you, I expanded my grace and mercy to cover you all the more. See, we don't understand how bad it is until God drops the blinders and allows you to see where you are and how you are perceived. Some of us think that they're laughing with us when they're actually laughing at us. He'll have you think, the devil will have you think that they're on your side while they're grinning at you, not knowing that the grin is really a smirk. So then God will do what he's going to do in such a way because he knows that you have to develop, you have to grow. And he has not given you what you keep asking him for because God knows that you have not gone through the process of growth and development. I shared something on Friday, and some of you have made mention that you have not seen the broadcast, and we haven't broadcast as much. And there's a reason for it. One of the things is that we find that saints become lazy when they have easy access to things that they should be putting effort into. And what do you mean by that? There are certain people that cannot make it to the household of faith because they are in hospitals, they are in nursing homes, they're incarcerated, there are other things are going on. To them, we deliver a gospel to them. This is what people are watching right now. Amen. Whatever platform that you see it on, either at the website, www.ctkrm.org, or on the media tab, or on Facebook Live, or simulcast blog, talk radio, different other mediums that we use, amen, to disseminate this gospel. That is there for those who have no access. But for those who have access but won't put the effort into you, you won't get the benefit of what you need to get by receiving this word. What do you mean? God is looking for your investment into your development. That is the effort you put into it. Amen. And there are times when you can't, then this becomes a resource to stay connected. But what God does is he begins to challenge us and check us. Are you doing all that you can do to get to my presence? Or are you making an excuse because you won't discipline yourself? So what he said is don't always come on. There are times when there's things released into the atmosphere, you need to be here to get it. Friday night was one of those moments. We did not turn on the cameras. We did not go live or anything else. We sat here on Tuesday, and then we sat here on Friday and let the Lord just speak to us and speak through us. Amen. And that allowed us then to deal with some reality. And one of the things that he began to show me and speak to me about is the fact that he is the one that is in charge, amen, of your growth and development. I'll say that again. God is in charge of your growth and your development. So what happens then when God decides that he's going to change your curriculum? See, there are times when we have gone to God with what we desire, and God has allowed us to study in certain areas. These are your electives, amen, if you will. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying. These are your electives. Oh, I would like to take a class in that. That's good. But then you have to still deal with your core curriculum, amen, which leads to your degree. You can't just take a bunch of electives that equal up to the hours of your degree and still come out with that degree. Because if you don't have the core courses, which teaches you the disciplines, amen, teaches you the field of study that you're in, you're not going to have competency in that field. So, in other words, I can't say that I'm going to be an electronic engineer and take music classes and you know, things like that. Because when it comes down to me reading a schematic and understanding resistance and amperage and how voltage works and those things that are required so that I can build proper circuits, I won't know anything about it. But I'll know how to make a good tune about it. Okay? Now, some of you right now, the same way, God has been trying to take you into your specialized training, but you won't go into it trying to stick with your electives. So God says, I can't give you the degree that you think you should have. After all this time being saved, you feel that you should be somewhere down the road. And God said, I've been waiting for you to come and deal with the core curriculum. That's deep all by itself. We don't want to deal with it because it means that we have to submit to God and tell him that he was right all along. And we are prideful people. Amen. We don't want to tell anybody that we messed up and that we didn't get it and that it's somebody else's fault. So God began to speak to us on Friday. And he began to say, first of all, let me share something with you. And this is for everyone who's listening. There's a time when we hold your feet to the fire, amen. We deal with you as those that should know, amen. In Hebrews, it uses these words. It says, at the time that you should be a teacher, you have to go back again and learn the first principles of the gospel. Some of you should already be teaching and leading others, but now we have to come back and teach you the foundation of fasting. Teach you the foundation of prayer. Teach you the foundation of studying your word and waiting on the Lord and listening to his voice and being led by the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit and demonstrating proper praise and worship. You're not ready for the next level. At the time that you should be there, you have to go back through remedial courses, so that God can bring you up to speed. And I didn't understand remedial courses until I had to take some. What do you mean? I was in college back in the 80s, and then I hadn't went to college until 2012, I believe, trying to finish my degree after I retired. So I said, yeah, let me go on back. I'm not doing anything else. I can at least go on back and finish up my education. Well, you know, y'all heard this said before, the math that I learned back then is not the math that they do today. So now you have to come in and learn the math that they did today. And if you don't understand that, what I'm saying, we know that if I look at the number 40 and we say 40 minus 7 should be 33. And in their eyes, they said could be possibly 33. And I said, well, no, that doesn't make any sense. And they said, well, we're dealing with probability. So then they go through and how we have to go in and take apart 40 and what numbers, the smallest common denominators, and deal with those, and you come up with X minus 40 minus, and you come up with the equation so that you can understand how 40 might possibly be something close to, if not 33. So math back in the 80s was clear cut. Math in 2012 needs a little bit more training and schooling. So remedial means that you may have learned it before, but you didn't learn it in depth. Because the reason why they took me through probability was because I needed to understand how to apply that principle to other areas that weren't so clear. So in order to teach me how to have the skill, how to have the intellect, how to comprehend what was going on, they taught me probability. Okay? So now I can go in and look at things and see it and see that even though it looks clear, it may not be exactly as I saw it. So I have to go through the part of looking at its basic components and coming up with what possibly could be the answer. God does the same thing. See, the simple answer is God can. The hard answer is how God did. Okay, all right. God is a killer. The hard answer is why did I get sick in the first place? Okay, God is a way maker, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. But what you have to deal with is how did you get into the situation where it took God to provide for you? That's the harder question. And if you don't understand what's going on, then when you get into a place where your faith should be decreeing and declaring what shall be, you'll still be fighting over what was. So God has to take you through and teach you and put you through the classes and go through the process and the procedures so that you understand what has actually happened. These become then skills that you learn. You learn the mechanics of your faith and not just having faith. You learn how your praise clears the atmosphere. Have you ever been sitting back thinking of the Lord and the enemy comes in and starts bringing all kind of thoughts that have no business in the same conversation with God? You know, somebody walked past and your mind starts talking about, ooh, that was nice. Back in the day, I would have. See, hold on. Wait a minute. What are you doing right there? You was just glorifying God when the enemy introduced something that doesn't glorify God. So you have to learn how to focus and praise through. When you see it, Lord, I still thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you kept me. I thank you right now. You're keeping my mind. And see why the enemy is trying to introduce the thought. When you fight the thought, then what ends up happening is you lose that thought that they tried to plant because your praise superseded the thought. Oh, y'all ain't hear what I just said right there. Some of you are trying to meditate on it and think about it and then get back to your praise. But when you are disciplined, the first thing that happens to you is when you see it, you begin to come against it right now. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I submit and I subject my mind to the will of God. I don't have to have my say in my way. Because God already has my benefit set up in his plan. That's how we have to see all of this. So in dealing with this, then we have to grow, we have to develop, we have to deal with those things. And the Holy Spirit was teaching us on Friday that everybody has not matured or developed to the same level at this time. There are people who said, you know, they really don't want God. They don't want him. And the Holy Spirit said, they want me, they just haven't matured to the level that you understand me. I said, what do you mean? He said, the kindergartner doesn't understand the third grader. and why you got to go through all of that. The third grader doesn't understand the eighth grader's report that they have to do. The eighth grader is looking at that and don't understand the exams that the 12th grader has to go through. Okay? Those who are in college at your associate's, bachelor, master's, or doctoral level, the matriculation process there, we can look back and see all of these. But it would be inappropriate and it would be disturbing if the person who is working on their master's is falling out, having a tantrum that the kindergartner's having because they didn't get their cookies or have their nap, you see? So then there becomes a responsibility as we grow. And therein lies the problem. A lot of us don't want to grow and deal with the responsibility because we want somebody else to deal with that. We want to keep our opinions. We want to keep people giving us and doing for us. But we don't want to do it for ourselves, and we don't want to grow up. So if somebody else can pray for me, I don't have to discipline myself to pray. If somebody else will fast for me, then I don't have to turn down my plate. I can keep eating while I still get the benefits of being one who fasted. And God said, no, you're going to have to grow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we have to see everybody at a developmental level. Everybody hasn't grown. Everybody hasn't developed. If you are in spiritual eighth grade, don't look down on the person who's in second grade. Oh, they're going to mature and develop, but they're not in your grade. And look at this. They can't make up those years like that. All right? Why are you trying to get everybody to come up to your spiritual level? Recognize that your spiritual level in the eighth grade is nothing like the person graduating from high school spiritually. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So then we have to work out our own salvation, soul salvation with fear and trembling, being aware of others who are also going through the process of growth and development so that we don't turn around and talk down to them because they haven't grown to where we finally got to ourselves. Because truth be told, you finally got there yourself. You didn't run. And don't look back. There's been a lot of turning around in your Christian experience. Some of you right now is turning around before you came to church this morning. Some of you listening right now have been turned around and only turned around just enough to hear this message. You have plans later on. I'll talk to you after church. You have plans after church of going right back to what you turned around to. Okay, so how can God deal with this? We have to grow and we have to develop. We have to allow God to do for us what only he can do. And then there was another thing that he spoke to us, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. 1 Kings 19. Let's go to the fourth verse. Well, let's go back to the first verse. That way we can put it in context. I could just tell you that this is Elisha after Mount Carmel. And now Jezebel's heard that he has killed her prophet. That's first verse. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent the messenger to Elisha saying, so let the gods do to me and more so also if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that night he might die, or that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Isn't it interesting at the moment that you are at your lowest, God does not let you succumb to your mindset, but he strengthens you. Arise and eat. Some of you right now are mad because God sent a word of encouragement to keep going through and not a word of relief so you can stop going through. All right. Sixth verse. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. With some of you right now, God is giving you respite, and you went right back to your sleeping position. And God didn't call you to sleep. He's strengthening you because there's still work to do. Amen? The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenants, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elisha heard it. Everybody say he heard it. Okay, after he heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elisha?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Mahalah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God's word is blessed. You have to understand, and we'll be teaching this more in series. There's so much here that I can't in one setting just give you everything, because this is compounded revelation. Amen. It has to be broken down in layers so that you can get all of this. Amen. First of all, let me just say this. Elijah has just demonstrated one of the miracles in the Bibles that we shout all over the place. You know, who's on the Lord's side, come to me. And when they decided that they were going to call upon the name of your God, and they cut themselves and until blood gushed out and everything else, and then God answered by fire the sacrifice that Elisha has set up upon the altar. We talk about it. Elisha takes down then all the prophets and don't let one of them escape. And he kills them by the brook. This is the aftermath. And one of the problems that we have to deal with is that God will use you greatly to get his glory. But what happens when the anointing lifts? See, we don't talk about the fact that while you were in the presence of the Lord, the music was going, the praises were going up. People were all shouting and giving God praise, and here you are now. The anointing is lifted. There's no one shouting. No one's pointing at you. No one's trying to get into the prayer line for your hand to be laid upon them. No one's asking you, what did the Lord say? Seeking a word from you. No, no, you're just regular old Chris now. Mr. McQueen, if you will. You are not chief apostle Christopher McQueen, bishop and prelate, if you will, of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Conversion. You're just little old Chris over there. And it is at that moment that we begin to remember how frail and insecure we really are. How is it that you can kill 400 plus prophets by the sword and then hear the word of one woman and flee for your life? You would think that after God answered by fire, that his confidence would have been at an all-time high. After the people turned back to God, he would have felt that he was successful in his call and assignment. Yet still here he hears the word of one, and he flees and complains. I don't feel bad then. No, I don't feel bad at all. Because there's times when I don't feel like chief apostle. There's times I don't feel like bishop. Bishop McQueen, God bless you. I don't feel like him. Okay? There's times where I don't feel like anything. I'm trying to figure it out one side to the other. Burned out and worn out and tired. And I'm just, see, some of y'all don't understand that we have to encourage ourselves. David, after he dealt with the fact that they had gone out and been to battle, he has to come back and deal with the fact that the enemy, while he was gone, has come into the camp and taken their cattle, taken their children and their wives. Everybody's upset at him, not because of his success, but because of an incident that shows apparent failure. So it is that as we begin to deal with things in our life, that we see ourselves in the same light. God can do great things through us, for us, in our presence. While we are there, we can testify of God's healing power. We can testify of God's ability to make a way. And right afterwards, we'll deal with the fact that the doctor sent the results of a test. And all of your faith seemed to have gone out like a sieve trying to hold a gallon of water. Nothing there. It's all drained out. Nothing can hold it. And here we find Elisha then in the same situation, that after all that he has done, Jezebel says something to him that causes him to run and flee. He went, and not only did he flee, but he left his responsibility before he ran. What's that third verse said? It says, and when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. Look at these words, and left his servant there. We can tell when you're scared and you're running and the devil has you on the run because you leave responsibility behind. While God was blessing you, your tithes, your offering showed up on time. You was there to open up the door for everybody else. But as soon as life hits you hard and you catch your breath, we can't find you or find the key we gave you. Haven't seen you in a while. Hey, I'm still with you, Pastor. But we don't see you. We look at your responsibility left behind. The servant is one who was given to him is as one that was going to serve him and assist him in his assignment. But he left the assignment and the servant behind. Y'all see this? And he went himself about a day's journey into the wilderness. And I used to think the wilderness was a bad place, but I begin to understand the value of the wilderness experience. The value of the wilderness experience is that sometimes God has to get you by himself so he can talk to you when nobody else seems to can get through your defenses. You know, there are people who right now are saved, but they're backslidden. What do you mean? They got saved and then they turned around and ran from God because of what he asked them to do. They know enough scripture to defend their position, but not enough word or scripture to defend how they're going to get free. You can come to them and say, the Lord sent me to talk to you, and they'll talk you down because they got the argument together. You know enough word to defend your debauchery and your foolery, but you don't have enough word to get free from it. You ran into the wilderness. And God allows you in there. In my wilderness, I was running from this car. I didn't want this car. I wanted to just play. Just let me play. I'm cool. I don't have to do all the extraness. No, I'm good. I'm good. The closest is I would get up and exhort people before I go back and play. You know, that was it because I just want to play. God had greater for me. And because he had greater for me, he did not allow me to settle for just being a musician. So I know how to record. I know how to do broadcasting. I know how to do all of those things. I know how to sit down and put it all together and teach and train the voices to get out of them the peak, you know, of what they're going to give to God. We don't pick it before time, and we don't leave it on the vine after time. Amen. We give it to him at its peak ripeness. God said, that's all good. I'll allow you to have that. But now I need you to do better than that. I'm like Peter when you know, Jesus was talking to him and he said, now I'm going to make you fisher of men. You know how to fish for fish, okay? I'll teach you how to do it for men, all right? So this word here I was running from and I ran from it and this call into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, I learned some things about God that I would not have learned unless I was in the wilderness. And some of you right now think that you're going to learn some things about God outside of the wilderness because you don't want the wilderness experience. But my brother, my sister, as soon as you tell God maybe, you're headed towards your wilderness. You want to avoid the wilderness? Tell God yes. Don't just tell him yes. Demonstrate it by disciplining yourself to be in his presence and solely focused on him. Then your yes will prove itself out. You'll still go through some processing, but you won't have to come back from the wilderness. Moses had to come back from Midian, the wilderness, to the assignment he left. Because he didn't understand what it was. And a lot of times the reason why we have issues and insecurities is because we recognize how we fail being ill-equipped for an assignment that was bigger than us to start with. I could start right there just by telling you that God never gives you an assignment that you can do. He gives you an assignment that you need him to accomplish. Not only him, he'll send people along with you that have the same vision, the same drive, the same determination, and he'll set you as a captain over them. Okay? So no, you're not supposed to fight the Philistine and defeat them all. That's not it. Because then you will be a god before the children of Israel. You see it? So what he does is he encourages you and he anoints you and then sets those that will work with you to defeat the Philistine. He'll give you the strategies. He'll give you the resources to do it. Heaven itself will open up and frighten the enemy into killing themselves while you standing there holding a pitcher that's just cracked with the candle inside of it. They don't know what's going on. All they know is that they're killing each other. At the very end, the battle that you never drew a sword to fight in, you'll have to go down to that battlefield, that bloody, gory battlefield, and spoil the enemy. Nor can I just have the gold and jewels and those things when they bring it back? Do I have to go to the field? Yes. You have to go down there, first of all, because you have to see what God has done. Second of all, you have to accept the fact that God did it for you. Oh, that's deep. You want to see the enemy dealt with. You don't want to see how they got dealt with. God says, don't worry about them. I'm going to take care of them. Vengeance is mine. And this is the reason when you see God's mighty hand, you understand why we pray for our enemies. Some of you have never seen how a cut looks or how different things. Some people have weak stomachs. You don't want to see, ooh, I'm good. I don't have to see none of that. Listen, sometimes God forces you to go down to the battlefield so you can see the carnage, so that you can understand how God protected you and what he did to your enemy. This is not a time to become boastful. This is not a time for you to shout on their graves and do three turns and step on it. Hold on. This is the time for you to well before the Lord and speak to him concerning his mercy. Because look at this. If it hadn't been for the blood of Jesus, you would have been the enemy too. And that right there that you just saw was your end. Yeah, that part right there. That you haven't always given him the yes and walked it out, and you are deserving of what you just saw. The cross and the crucifixion was not something where they just slit his wrists and let him bleed out a little bit. They beat him. They whooped him. They talked about him. They put on him a crown of thorns. Why? Because it was supposed to be antagonizing. It was supposed to be one of those things that just caused him to, in everything about him, his mentality, his hope, everything had to be taken away. They stripped him down so that there was not an ounce, nothing, a thread of dignity. Why? Because that's what your sin was supposed to do. For you. We don't think about it. We don't think about it at all. God does these things for us so that we can see it. Elijah here has just done this at the brook. He's taken all those prophets and he killed all of them with the sword. That was not He didn't go down there and just slap him in the back of the head and say, get yourself together. You know you're crazy. No. He killed him. with the sword, which means when he cut, they bled. He comes back, and now he's dealing with the fact that all of this has occurred, and God has given him the strength in his hand not only to kill them all, but he has also answered his faith by coming down and consuming the sacrifice. Wildernesses bring us to a place after the greatness of God has occurred in our life that we can find some balance. Balance is needed because if you didn't have these wilderness experiences sometime, you would think that you were infallible. You would think that you were indestructible. You would cease to depend on God and will start to depend on your own abilities because I can't tell. So God allows us then to have these moments where we need the wilderness. The wilderness allows you to go in and learn God in such a way that now you can stand back and say, you know, I thought I knew strength until I hit that test, that trial, that situation. But afterwards, now I know God. I thought I knew him as a healer, but he had to heal more than a headache. Because what they said to me would cause me some other issues, and if he hadn't came in and healed me, the doctor didn't know what to do, and the doctor had given up and given me a time frame within a couple of weeks, within this amount of time, within a couple of months, you know, set everything in order, because normally after this runs its course, people normally don't survive this far. But here you are. He said weeks, and you've been living months. He said, months, you've been living years. And it took you going into a wilderness to know that God is a greater healer than you could just proclaim. People don't understand your praise. They don't understand your worship. They don't understand your shout. They don't understand your run. Because in their mind, you're doing way too much. And it don't take all of that. That's in your mind because maybe you didn't experience what God did for me. Maybe yours was God just kept something from you and you just thankful to that. Maybe if your faith was at a higher level, your test would have been greater. I just said something right there. Why does God put some of us through deep tests? Because we have to develop deep faith. So you don't have to have faith that will move mountains. You just need to know it will. But those of us who have to move the mountain, he tests our faith at the mountain level so that we will know that your faith works greater than you ever knew. He ran for the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Lord, I think I've done all I need to do. I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of all of this. Just take me now. That's what he said. He said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father. And then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And I alluded to this earlier. But one of the things you have to understand, Elisha now is dealing with the fact that he has come to the end of himself and he's ready to die. And what does God do in response to his wanting to die and it is enough? He gives him a cake, some water, which now will strengthen you. Let me remind you that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were paid for. You bought and paid for. I'll tell you when you're done. Amen. Somebody, thank you, prophetess. Some of you right now are mad because God won't concur with what you said about being done. I'm done with it. I'm done. I'm over. It's over. It's done. I'm done. No, no, no. God said, you are not done till I tell you you're done. The angel said, arise and eat. And then he did it a second time. Notice that Elisha, and this is why when you're dealing with people and you decide to go back to what you were doing before and try to get back into your position of do nothing and rest in solitude, that we bother you again. The angel came a second time because after he arose and ate, he knew he had to go 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of what it was he ate. But Elisha didn't know. We don't give up on you because you gave up on yourself. We keep feeding you. We keep encouraging you. We know that you try to give up on God, and we tell you, hey, get yourself together. We just going to go on. Come on, walk with me a little bit. We even walk with you a little bit down a path that we don't have to be on so that you can understand that this is a path you're going to have to walk. Good leaders will help you to get down the road. This is the problem. Some of us become so lazy, we want the leader to carry us to our destiny. And the leader has to carry himself, herself, to their destiny. You are part of the assignment. You are not the assignment. Elisha lays down, and the angel wakes him up again and tells him now, hey, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. You mean at the point that I'm ready to give up? God is not done with me yet. At the point where I have done all that I can do, God turns around and looks and says, he reminds me that my plan for you is not this short spill that you've been in. It's not this little assignment that you have completed and now you feel you're done. The journey is too great means that you have a lot more work to do, even at the greatest disappointment of your life. Elisha demonstrates here a depression in ministry. I don't want you ever to think that because we're anointed, we don't get depressed. I don't want you to ever think that because God has used us, that we don't have down moments. We got to talk to ourselves. We got to encourage ourselves while everybody's being critical of the message we give them. While everybody's talking about us, and if you all that, how come your church is not overflowing? Listen, let me tell you something. The enemy can fight as much as he wants, and sometimes what God does is he takes you into a wilderness where your church don't grow. So he can teach you some principles so that when he takes you to a place where it's overflowing, you won't mess up on basic things. Had a conversation with our first assistant, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, Kingdom Conversion, Apostle Howard, and was talking about how there's a man that got an assignment to a church that was bigger than anything that he's ever had. And he got in because of his lack of skill that he went in and tore up. And he started making a turn after he had did all the damage from his lack of skill and lack of ability, so that now they are beginning to make a turn, but the damage has already been done. These are things that if he had simply had the basic training, the principle of the training would have kept him from making the mistakes he made. All right? And it's not that he had a church the size of 20,000 members, 10,000 members, 5,000 members. It was the fact that if you haven't dealt with 3 members, you don't know what to do with 30. If you haven't dealt with 30, you don't know what to do with 300. You see what I'm saying? If you haven't dealt with 300, then you have no hopes for 30,000. Lessons that you learn in small places condition you for dealing with bigger venues. If you're faithful over a few things, he'll make you master over many. And so it is that at the point of your lowest mental state, that God will begin to deal with you. This is not a time for you to give up. This is a time for you to grow. This is a time for you to be encouraged. My brothers, my sister, after this consecration, this fast, this time of setting aside ourselves so that God can speak to us, I am more convinced now that what God is doing in our future is greater than anything that has ever been in our past. Things that we tried for ourselves and tried to do ourselves, God said, I allowed you to do it so that you would have a taste and experience in it. But that's not my call. That's not my will. When you get to the call and God's will, then you'll see things in a different light. There are people who can't join you now on your journey because you're still being processed in the journey. But when God turns it over, the people who smirked at you and looked at you will be looking at you with their eyes just as big. But this time it'll be bewilderment, trying to figure out how did you survive every attack, every plan. Because right now they look like they're successful. Oh, we did this, that, and other. They ain't never going to. I told everybody, okay, that was you. Now let God have his say. Now watch what God says. Watch what God does. There are things that God is going to do that he wouldn't let happen while your enemy was looking, because he's not working for your enemy. He's working for you. And you can sit in a tree and you can lay down, but God still has a word for you. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. I'm not done. I'm just quitting. Come on, prophet.
Amen. We bless God for that word. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great. Amen. That's just to encourage someone out there, whether you are a leader or whether you're sitting in the pew and God has put a vision on the inside of you that you know is bigger than what is around you. Maybe you're looking and you're seeing that it's just me right now. There is no one that I can turn to help me produce what God has placed in me. That's okay. Continue to lay before him. Continue to learn of Christ. Continue to trust in him. As you're going through your journey, in due season, God will add. And I'm a full believer, family, that in this 2020, God has placed, amen, a divine increase acceleration on his people because of what has to happen in the spiritual realm as well as in the natural. Amen. So things are going to, there used to be a commercial says life comes at you fast. This is what's happening in the realm of the spirit. It is coming. The curtain is rising. X marks the spot. Amen. And it's time for your cue. So don't get paralyzed. Amen. In the process, don't allow the enemy to paralyze you. Don't get overwhelmed. Allow yourself to be processed. Stay in God's face. Stay encouraged. Amen. Get around men and women of God, people of God. Amen. That will encourage you, won't allow you to give up, but will cover you and protect you. Amen. And pray for you. Amen. And with all that being said, we just want to bless God for the word. We want to thank God for what he is doing and saying to his people. We want you to go, family. If this word has blessed you in any way, please go to our website, www.ctkrm.org. I want you to sow into this word. Amen. If God is speaking to you, and I know he is speaking because that's the type of God we all serve, as he's speaking to you, amen, and this word is resonating with you, please hit that button, amen, and give whatever the Lord has placed on your heart to give, amen, for what's going on in your life, for your season, for your journey, amen, for your assignment that the Lord has for you to do. We're praying for you, and if no one else has told you, we believe in you, and God is going to do some great works in your life for his glory. Stay tuned, amen, hold on, don't let go, be encouraged, and no matter what, keep moving forward, in the words of Bishop Kevin Bond, keep moving forward, amen. So I just want to thank all of you on this morning for joining us right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Please don't forget to connect with us again at www.ctkrm.org. If you are in the Brevard County area, please join us Tuesday at 7 p.m. for our Bible study night. Amen. For Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Our address, family, is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Amen. And again, keep us in prayer as we begin to travel over to Liberia, Africa. Hold us up, amen, that the Lord will give us and perform mighty acts, signs, wonders, and miracles, and that the assignment will be completed and that he gets all the glory, African Women for Jesus 2020. Amen. With all hearts and minds clear, I just want to say that from our heart to yours, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries family, we love you, God bless you, and we will see you again next week. Have a fabulous Sunday.